You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It's The Bigger Picture and it's Meera Sivasuthi. A handmade story of Peranakan proportions. Postcards from Rosa is a Singapore playwright Desmond Sim's tribute to his late grandmother, which promises to warm the hearts of nostalgia files with its take on tradition and family life. Set to be staged in KL tomorrow, I reminisce about the tradition and family life with Marina Tan, who plays the title role of Rosa, together with Chris Ling, the director of the play. Welcome to the show, both of you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us.
Marina, I just got here in the nick of time.
Yes.
Welcome. Catch your breath, Marina. I'm going to interrogate Chris first. Okay.
Thanks.
You know, I mean, how are the both of you doing? Christopher, Chris, what have you been up to?
Doing well. Extremely busy. Just come out of a big show with T4YP, our first main stage production. And immediately after this, I go into T4YP Sweatshop, the musical. We're doing a 24-hour musical. And then after that, Romeo and Juliet. So, my play is so full.
How wide do you have to be for this T4YP
16 to 26.
Does that take you through the rest of the year?
Well, up through to September, and then, you know, I've got to sort my life out for
after.
I have to sort my life out
but
for that.
But do you find that things sort of wind down towards the end of the year?
Well, for me, traditionally, it doesn't, only because I always program a large main stage production under KL Pack for December. So my October, November, December, I am flat off my feet, you know, putting the production together. I've been doing things actually for the last 5 years. I planned it in such a way that there would be a big production from myself at the top of the year and at the end of the year.
End of the year.
Yep.
And normally during the Ramadan period, you find that it becomes a little quiet. There are not so many theatre performances, but I realise you're actually going full on, and this is running from the 11th to the 14th.
That's right.
Okay, so not a problem for you, really.
Not tremendously. I mean, you are totally correct, Meera, in saying that yes, there are less performances during the Ramadan period, but don't forget, we are part of the KL Festival 2013, then there's a whole range and menu of all kinds of things happening. So, you know, we're just one with the tip of the iceberg of the KL Fest. Yes.
Welcome, Marina, and caught your breath already now?
Yes. Hi, buddy. Hello, world.
How have you been up to? How have you been?
I've been good, thank you.
What have you been working on?
Earlier in the year, I was quite busy with Shakespeare Demystified and Box of Delights.
Yes, we had you on for that.
Yes, that's right, and it was great. It was great from June onwards. I think like the second weekend of June onwards. I've been clear except for this. So it's been great to just be able to focus and just immerse myself in the world
into
of Rosa.
The whole culture. Yes, yeah, the world of Rosa. It's right. A Peranakan, has got Peranakan elements in it fully.
Yes.
Actually, do both of you come from Peranakan background, Marina?
I don't.
You
no.
don't.
I
Chris,
do, yes.
You through and through, isn't it? Tell me about that. How far back?
He carries around a handkerchief everywhere he goes.
Yes.
What handkerchief?
He has the iconic handkerchief. But I think that's to do with my father's Anglophile upbringing.
But he was
Peranakan. He said, we must never leave the house without a handkerchief.
Aww.
And then it's always stayed with me. It's all these small little things, Meera. You know, it's like, you know, memories of my grandmother cooking the most sumptuous meals for all of us single-handedly with my mum's help, of course. The kebayas and in fact my grandma sneaking her cherut, you know, in the back toilet, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Against your mother's wishes.
Yeah, well, hoping that the smoke won't pervade the air of the house. But of course, you know me, as a little kid of 10 years old, I went, oh, Amma, what are you doing? Oh, okay. And I walk out.
But both sides, both your parents are of Peranakan heritage.
That's right.
How much of
that's
it
right.
do you think you've brought, you know, with you?
Well,
and how much of it do you think you'll be able to pass on to your own children?
Well, I have to admit that apart from these sort of memories that are sort of stuck in the early years of my childhood, there's not very much that remains per se of the culture. Because the thing is, you know, with the pull of the 20th century and the 21st century, it is so easy for these things to slip. Like, for instance, the notion of pantang. Now, pantang is something that I don't allow necessarily for that to rule my life.
Mm-hmm. Give me one example.
Hear this. Pantang, like for instance, in Postcards from Rosa, there are quite a few mentioned. The first one that comes to mind is you never buy shoes for someone, because that indicates if you buy shoes for a person, especially an elderly person, it means that person's going to pass on or move on or go away from you. So, yeah. And in fact, actually, a pantang that hit me personally was, you never buy clothes for someone unless that someone is, you're married to the person or you have a permanent link to that person. So you don't buy clothes and that sort of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, all interesting, right. Isn't it?
I'm sure. But how do you not let it play at the back of your mind? You know, he does for me though. Once you find out, if you didn't know about
it's
it, that's
deep
fine.
In your psyche, right?
Yeah. Someone was saying actually that they were never allowed to tingkatkan their plates at the lunch or dinner table. Yeah, you were never allowed to stack your plates and stack your things, and you certainly would not eat off the plate after it's been stacked.
Right.
And that's all part of the pantangs. But I mean, it makes complete sense, isn't it? I mean, you don't want to stack your plates and your stuff because, you could brush your hand the wrong way and all these things could fall
true.
And
there's
all
always
the wonderful nyonya wear. You know?
There's always a logical explanation, isn't it? Postcards from Rosa was inspired by the memories of Singaporean playwright Desmond Sim, his own beloved grandmother.
Yes.
I mean, what made you want to be, or what made you want to bring it to the Malaysian stage? Did you feel like Desmond Sim? I mean, your grandmother was Peranakan as well.
First of all, this is about my fourth or fifth collaboration with Desmond Sim. I've been doing a play of his every year since the year 2009. Mm-hmm. The first play I did of his was The Swimming Instructor, and when I read Postcards from Rosa, it reminded me so much of that funny ha ha ha, poignant, make you cry sort of thing, that sort of dynamic that he has with his plays, and actually that was the main draw for me primarily. But as I was mentioning earlier, Mira, when you come face to face with a character as charismatic and as full as Bibik Rosa, you can't afford not to relearn the things that you thought you knew about yourself, about your relationship with family. You relearn all these things that you thought you knew. Yeah. Something that's mentioned in the play is love is leche.
Yes.
And that's something that's brought up many, many times.
And I realize the word leche comes about quite a lot in the show.
Yes.
But
let's
just go back, go to Marina first. I mean, Marina, you have no Peranakan, blood or anything. How did you immerse and become Bibik Rosa?
The thing that really grabbed me about the script is that it's about this woman. I mean, the Peranakan culture is there and it infuses everything, but the story is so universal. I think anybody who knows has a mother, a grandmother, a child, a grandchild, anyone who's loved another person, who has missed another person, kind of thing. Yeah, all these elements in the play. The Peranakan culture is a housing to tell this universal story, which resonates so much.
It'll resonate with everyone.
Yes.
Okay, sounds like The Separation, the Iranian movie, which won, the award. And, it's Iranian. Yes, it's got, English subtitles, but when you watch it, it's a universal thing. It's a problem which most of us face all around the world, not just in Iran. So is the play essentially a biography of sorts?
Yeah, something like that. It's her life story, but the audience will also get to meet the other people around her who were kind of formative in her life.
Right. How many characters or how many voices do you take on, Marina?
About 7 or 8. Yeah.
And it takes Bibik Rosa's life from the ages of 16 to her early 70s.
Yes, that's right.
How have you made Rosa's personality distinct? How have you taken on those 7 roles?
I think the script itself was very rich in who she was and how she viewed the world. I mean, her point of view is very strong. And the things that happened to her were so vivid, and the other characters that Des wrote, they were so strong and so rounded in at least what I saw in them. And then Chris was really great at, then I felt a lot of things which were in my head and in my heart. But Chris was really great at tapping me and bringing them out.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you have to do a little bit of rewriting or adaptation?
Yes. The play originally was written in a Singaporean context. Mm-hmm. So what we've done is we've Malaysianized it. And of course, we've set it in good old Penang. That's why we premiered the play in Penang.
Right. How did that go?
Also,
that
also
go?
I mean, really, because we could go to Penang and eat the food there.
Besides that, of course.
For our four performances,
I think Penangites would have loved it.
Yeah.
Yes, they were wonderful, warm audience.
It's very
sellout
close
crowd.
To them.
Yes, very much so. Mm-hmm. Lots of stories about how people are directly affected by the play. You know, this is the sort of play that cannot just affect you on a surface level. It has to dig deep. Either you are touched by it or you're not touched by it. Mm-hmm. And if you are touched by it, you're touched in an extremely deep manner. You know, it brings up so many memories, so many thoughts, so many issues. It's still bringing up issues in my own personal life, you know, considering the fact that I've seen it so many millions of times and I'm so bored of it in that sense, you know, visually and whatever. But every time I see it, there's something new and I go, oh, maybe I should talk to that person.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. You almost come across as being traumatized. Are you all right, Chris?
I think I'm thinking about my day. The fact that it's a wonderfully full day, which is great, you know. But
he's really funny, you know. He'll be coming to me after the show, and then his eyes will be red, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm getting quite jaded. I don't feel anything." And then he'll be wiping his eyes.
See, I wasn't too far away from the truth. He's traumatized.
Actually, you know what? A funny story is at the dress rehearsal of Rosa. There's a pivotal moment right at the end of the play. I've never ever teared at that moment, but you know, at this dress rehearsal, the floodgates open. I cried and I cried. And I cried, and then I went up to Marina and I said, "Marina, I have no idea why that happened, but it happened. So I guess that must be good."
It is good.
You've looked deeper,
and you know, maybe found answers. I don't know.
Yes.
You know, fantastic. When we come back, we'll find out more about Postcards from Rosa. If you have a question for either Marina Tan, who's the actress, or Christopher Ling, send us a message. The number is 016-201-9000.
You're listening to BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivis. So the Postcards from Rosa is about a lady, a Peranakan woman, actually. It's a one-lady performance, a one-woman performance. Marina Tan, all by herself, taking on seven different roles in the play. I mean, it is the whole life of Bibit Rosa, but it goes through phases of her life and some of the challenges and tribulations. You know, the word, as we spoke about just now, sorry, Christopher Ling in the studio with me as well, director. Chris, I mean, there's a lot of leche, the word leche used in the show. Yep. Is there a reason for that?
There's one of the main themes of the play is about how, you know, in the earlier part of a parent's life, you know, they show you how wonderful they are in looking after households and not having to, you know, nothing can stand in their way. But what happens is in the twilight years of their life, the roles are reversed and they suddenly become this blubbering mess in a wheelchair that, you know, doesn't seem to have control of their own bowels, if you don't mind me saying that on air. But and the play is very specific about addressing the fact that you want to love the person that you want to love the person that they used to be, so you understand that it is worth loving that person, and not as the person is now, but as the person used to be. Mm-hmm. Loving that part of the person and understanding that, yes, at some point, maybe not right now, but at some point, that person was worth loving.
Okay.
Yes.
How would you describe the play? Is it a drama piece, comedy, soap opera, a bit of all, perhaps?
It is a very poignant, bittersweet piece, because it starts off very light and fluffy. You see dashes of the Oprah Winfrey Show and Ellen and that sort of thing, and then it works its way slowly into your mind, your psyche, and ultimately your heart.
Mm-hmm. Marina, what have you discovered about the Peranakan culture?
About the Peranakan culture, that there is, it's worth it to go into all the details. You know, if you are not sloppy in your love for someone, then why would you be sloppy in how you would take care of them? And I mean, not that it's our job to take care of other people, but that is how Rosa sees herself, and that's how she sees her place in the world, mm-hmm. is to take care of her loved ones.
Right.
And so it's worth it to go through all the trouble, and then in terms of Peranakan culture, then to go to the trouble to put on a nice front, you know, put on a good front, make a good impression, hair neat, and all your embroidery and buttons all proper, yeah.
A lot of research went into it.
Some. We had about a couple of trips to Penang, mm-hmm. Where we ate food and read books, talked to people, yep, this kind of thing.
I guess if you don't mind me saying, Mira, Postcards from Rosa is not so much a history lesson in the Peranakan culture. It is the Peranakan culture that frames the piece.
Yep. Yeah.
So, yes, a lot of research and a lot of looking into that. Yeah. But the thing is, dare I say, a lot more time spent in the building of the principal character of Bibik Rosa and then moving on to those seven subsidiary characters. Because, as we said earlier, the themes are very universal. It's just the housing. I like that idea, the housing being a Peranakan housing, and that's very unique in itself. And we have to, we can't avoid it, we have to celebrate the uniqueness of this culture.
Yeah.
Do you think that the play accurately reflects the Peranakan culture?
Well, for a start, when I first decided on the staging concept of the play, I knew that we had to graphically depict the world of Bibik Rosa. So a very important element of the story is projections done by Goh Chun Yen from Luma in Penang and Will Tang, who is our projection illustrator. Much of the Peranakan culture and life comes up in these wonderful projections that take the play from place to place. If you don't mind me saying, the play is structured as sort of, you know, in a way, a funny way, 20 postcards, 20 sort of scenes that cover all these pivotal moments in Rosa's life, positive and negative. So in every one of those scenes, you have, you know, all kinds of different sort of locations and ideas and themes explored that come up as part of the projection.
Sure. So projection, and then what about the set? Is it very elaborate?
It's actually tremendously simple, so
because
that the focus. That's right. So the focus can go to projection and to Marina principally.
Okay. Right. Yes. I understand there's a bit of audience interaction.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we're all familiar with the archetype of the garrulous nyonya auntie, right? Hello,
garrulous,
come.
Nice word.
Yeah.
Go on, Marina. Hello, come. do a little bit of Rosa for me.
Oh, make sure you come and see my show, Just because someone does not love you the way you want them to, doesn't mean they are not already loving you with everything they have.
You sound a lot like Ribena Berry.
I'm sorry, Joker, you're not getting royalties from me.
I'm like, that sounded like Ribena.
Now I'm thirsty.
Is the music accompanying the performance?
Yes, there is music. There's original music written by our soundscape designer, Carmen Cheng. Mm-hmm. But there is also the pivotal, well, not pivotal, but it's a very instrumental song, Mas Merah, sung by Andre Goh. It starts the play, it ends the play.
I remember Andre Goh. That was ages ago.
Yes. Quite some time back.
I just gave away my age. Yes, I remember him.
Yes.
He used to perform on RTM all the time.
Yes, I think so.
Okay, so is he performing or are you just using his music?
We're just using one of his tracks, and it really sets things perfectly. It's one of those sort of pieces that are melancholic in a way, not but in fact the song Mas Merah, Sayang Mas Merah, is all about lost love, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just, okay. Did you work with the Baba Nyonya and Peranakan associations?
Well,
because they do exist here.
Yes. We are actually in current contact with the Peranakan Association here in KL. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, they've been asked to come out in their, you know, bedecked in their kabayas and their stuff. I've been told that quite a lot of them are coming in on Friday night to also meet with Des, who will be down from Singapore.
All right, fantastic. Yeah. I mean, do you see this as a positive indication of the Baba Nyonya culture's ability to survive? In a way, are you trying to conserve the culture?
I don't know if we're trying to conserve the culture, but I think it's very rich, and obviously there are people who love it and, you know, and want to carry it through, which I think is really great, because as I was talking to people in Penang asking, you know, are you Peranakan, I would get a lot of answers like, oh well, you know, my aunt is, my grandmother is, so I have Peranakan blood, but I'm not full Peranakan. And I think that's getting more and more common now. So I think it's a culture that is
getting diluted. The blood's getting diluted.
The blood's getting diluted, but you know, then there are a lot of people who love the culture and are willing to, I mean, are happy to share it with others.
Right.
Desmond Singh is one of these people. He does a lot of Peranakan artwork as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I'm rather, you know, I'm rather upset because I remember doing a show with the Baba Nyonya Peranakan Association here in Malaysia, and they told me that Singapore is actually, their society is taking a lot of our stuff and actually going over there. And we are obviously letting go of it. You know, they're great marketeers down there. And, you know, in a way, there are a lot of Peranakans in Singapore as well. But yes. You know, yeah. who owns it?
And Malacca as well.
And in Malacca, yes. Yeah. So who owns it is really the question. What impact does this play, do you think, will have on the ordinary person or the audience who's watching?
You know, I was just thinking about that, how universal this play is. It actually reminds me of... It actually reminded me of a bit from Star Trek, one of the older original movies when Spock was lost and they had this whole, you know, huge universal effort to go and find him, and his father was also involved in this search and so on. And when he was found and he came face to face with his father, he said, "Thank you," something along the lines of, "Thank you, father, I'm sorry for the trouble I have caused." And the father said, "It was no trouble, you are my son."
Right.
And that message is so beautiful, you know.
It encapsulates.
It encapsulates that you love somebody. It's no trouble.
Okay. The play had its first staging in Singapore, Chris.
Yes, that's right.
Singapore's Action Theatre in 2007, and Neo Sui Lin in played the role, the lead roles. And Neo Sui Lin has also taken on another very famous Peranakan matriarch role, which is Emily of Emerald Hill.
Yes, that's right.
And I've had Pearlie Chua on the show. Of course, Pearlie has, of course, played Emily.
Yes.
A million times,
yes,
almost.
Yes,
are there similarities between the two plays? And if there are, I mean, what are the differences?
Dare I say, Postcards from Rosa is the antithesis to Emily, because Emily was born into wealth, whereas Rosa had to fight her way through... through her life to get where she is. So I think that would be one of the primary differences between the two plays. Of course, yes, you know, the play does beg comparisons and linkages to Emily, but in its own right, Postcards from Rosa does stand. It's quite standalone lah, in that sense.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think I find Emily tends to work in a way that she tries to be two steps ahead of everybody. You know, she plans and she structures and she'll be ahead of you before you know what's hit you.
Mm-hmm.
And Rosa is a little more, you know, oh dear, what shall I do now? And she, you see her trying to deal with things that are happening to her, but she's not the control freak that Emily was.
I suppose Neo Sui Lin would be the best person. I mean, if you haven't played both roles.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, if you're wondering who Neo Sui Lin is, she plays Ama in Phua Chu Kang, am I correct?
Yes,
yes, that's right.
That is correct. One of the critics in Singapore, based on the staging in Singapore, this person said the story is based almost entirely in the past, dislocated from the present. And the critic said watching the play was akin to being given the grand old historical tour trapped in a museum of frozen time. What would you say to that?
Well, for a start, I can tell you uncategorically that our production of Rosa is not at all that, because I did think a lot about that. I did think about how best to represent the Peranakan culture and give it its due respect and credit without it overwhelming the story itself. So what we have done is, you know, in for instance, getting the visual elements sorted out, making sure projections give you, you know, impressions of that kuih tart and that, you know, the shoes that bring you bad luck. You know, in dealing with that, then it allowed ourselves to focus on the characters, and you see, ultimately this play is about relationships.
Human beings, it happens
to be Peranakan proportions, but it is actually about relationships. It's about, you know, father and daughter. It is about mother and son. It's all these sort of familial relationships that are being explored. So it's great.
Did you recognize that in the play that was staged in Singapore and then decided to make changes to it, Chris, so that it's relevant to today?
Mira, I have No reference to the Singapore production.
Okay.
I didn't see it. I know just a teensy weensy bit about how they staged the production, and that intrigued me, certainly, you know, and that of course sparked the idea that, you know, yes, we must get that graphic element, that visual element sorted out. It's very important to help with the performance that Marina is giving. But other than that, I just use the same bag of tricks, the same gimmicks, the same sort of tools that I use on every one of my plays, which is to get rid of all the clutter and to try and focus in on the characters and the things that drive these characters, and to try and identify the theme itself that is universal that would move you. I feel that an audience, when they come in to watch a piece of theatre, they need to be moved. They need to be taken on a journey. If you don't take them on a journey, it's a missed opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever it takes, the music, the visuals, the characterizations, it needs to do just that. If you come into the theatre and you are not moved and you're not challenged in your thought, either positively or negatively, you know, then we've not done our job.
Okay, that was the director. What about the actress, Marina? Why should we all come and watch?
To think a little bit about yourself and the people in your life and where you've been, where they've been, and where you would be. I mean, one of the many, many things that struck me was, you know, here we are, quote unquote, in the prime of our lives. You know, we're on the radio, we're doing things, we're driving around, we're on stage. And the last thing on our minds is, what's going to happen to me when I'm 60 or mm-hmm. 70? Or, you know, what's it like for me to lose independence and be looked after by other people?
Yeah.
And how have I any idea how I'm going to behave to them? You know, everybody wants to be nice and make things pleasant for everybody else, but it's just sometimes not that easy. And so it's just, you know, think about the good times, remember the good times, and yeah.
Hope for the best.
Hope for the best. Hope, pray, beg, borrow, steal, yeah.
Postcards from Rosa will be staged at Pentastu in KL Park, located on Jalan Strawn of Jalan Ipoh in KL, from the 11th to the 14th of July. Tickets are priced, there's a price range of 33 ringgit and 23 ringgit for students, as well as the Actor Studio card holders. You can call 03-4047-9000 or do visit elasotickets.com to book your tickets, and you can also check out KL Park org for more details. It was a pleasure having you on.
Thank you.
Both of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I mean, I can't wait. I think it sounds like a very interesting play indeed. As you said, probably will touch every one of us in some kind of way or another. Thank you again. Marina,
it's a comedy. I laugh. It's tears of joy. Just remember. I know we talked about crying a lot, but it's tears of joy. Tears of joy.
Marina Tan, the actress, and Chris Ling, the director of Postcards from Rosa on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.